Know your reformers. Martin Luther was a German monk and professor who was plagued with doubt about his salvation. When he finally read the Bible for himself, he rediscovered the doctrine of justification by grace through faith. His bold witness for biblical truth was the spark that ignited the Protestant Reformation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oops, left a part out. This is Wretched Radio. A Great Awakening, the movie reviewed. One last note on it. There was a scene that I thought of the filmmakers was very brave, and that is the scene where George Whitefield was busted by Ben Franklin for owning slaves. Oofda. One of the early scenes in the movie, it was the first scene when Whitefield met Franklin, and he asked Franklin to print, "This is the first thing I want to have you print." And it was a screed against Southern slave owners that you're oppressing these people and you're withholding the gospel from them. Well, decades later, when he was trying to build an orphanage in Savannah, Georgia, and needed funds, couldn't get the job done. So my understanding is that he actually bought plantations to raise money via slave labor to fund the orphanage. And then he actually became a proponent of slavery. The Dietz, the Georgia trustees, they wanted to ban slavery. Whitefield actively lobbied against the ban. And so it is a detail in the life of George Whitefield that they at least put into the movie, because they show him in the beginning saying, "Hey, I'm opposed to slavery. Would you print this?" And Franklin said, "Hey, you're going to set off a powder keg." And he said, "Well, I didn't come here to tickle ears." And at the end of the movie, when Whitefield and Franklin are kind of arguing a little bit, Franklin exposed him. You want me to be a Christian like you, and you've got slaves. What do you do with that?" And I think the answer is, I don't think it's one of those issues where it's like when it's all said, and no matter how you parse it, it feels good, because even though Whitefield was baked into that economy, and we are more impacted by the cultural air we breathe than any of us care to admit, he compromised and he somehow was able to justify it in his mind. And yet he preached to tens of thousands. He was a part of a great awakening. He did proclaim the gospel faithfully. He wrote well. So you look at that and you go, it's just a radically bad inconsistency in the man's life that we probably see more clearly than probably almost any other generation. Does that give him a pass? Of course it doesn't. But I do believe that the best of men are but men indeed. And this is not to give him a pass on this at all. But if your life were biographied, If they were going to make a movie about you in almost 300 years, which is about the timing of the Franklin Whitefield story, what inconsistencies would be put up on the big screen about you? What about me? So I want to be a little bit careful to condemn. And I also simultaneously want to be careful not to condone and not to simply give a pass to it. And so to the movie makers who at least brought it up, they didn't resolve the issue. They didn't give much time to it. I give them props, but they did have, I thought, a great response from Whitefield, and I'm paraphrasing. He said to Ben Franklin, he was trying to persuade him one last time, "Please, please turn to the sun. Please don't kiss the sun lest he be angry." And Franklin was pushing back, and they were debating back and forth. And so when Franklin brought up the slavery issue, Whitefield's response was, "Do not judge the Christ based on Whitefield or any other man." And that's a good response. That is a good response, because you will get that objection in some form if you evangelize. They will simply say, "Hey, what about this guy? What about that group? What about the Crusades?" We want to try to explain it as best we can without condemning or condoning, as is appropriate, because there's details to the story that usually aren't revealed. Nevertheless, we want to make sure, even so, whatever your feeling is about, whether it was Luther's attitude toward the Jews, whether it was Whitefield's owning of slaves, whatever the grievance that you see, do not formulate your opinion about Jesus Christ based on the behavior of some of his followers. Don't do it. Whatever bad behavior you identify in a follower of Jesus Christ, you cannot base the object of our faith based on the actions of some of its followers any more than, let's just say, I bumped into somebody that you were pals with in fourth grade, and that dude was a jerk. He, nasty dude, said terrible, used bad words right in my face and called me bad names. Therefore, I don't like you because you were friends with him in fourth grade. You'd go, wait a second, hold on, that's not fair. You can't judge me because of that association of somebody who turned out to be a rotten egg. Ditto with Jesus Christ. You're going to run into those types of anecdotes, true or otherwise, that people can use. You can deflect it as much as you want to. You just can't apologize for George Whitefield and the slave owning thing. You just can't. I don't think we should try to apologize for Martin Luther's attitude toward the Jews near the end of his life. I just don't think that there's any way to justify that. Now, you can explain it, but that doesn't justify it. And I don't think it helps because people hear that. It's like, whoa. That was the attitude. To try to defend it in any way, shape, or form, I think is, I don't think it's the right response. And I don't think it is a winning response. Point them to Jesus Christ. And speaking of responding to questions, Jimmy, you're going to love this segue. Hey, did you see the interview of the Rolling Stone? He is he's a Rolling Stone music critic. And he was sitting down, very groovy set, with Brandon Lake. He's Mr. Hard Won Hallelujah. Mm. Why are you groaning out loud?
I didn't see it. I didn't.
Well, you're about to. This would be a lesson in obfuscation. This is a lesson in being asked what would be perceived these days as a difficult question and just batting it away, like not really answering it. So this is the non-answer answer. The individual from Rolling Stone apparently would call himself a Christian Buddhist. Now, he put it up on a tee for Brandon Lake. And there's a lot that you could criticize about it, like you blew the gospel opportunity, dude. And he also refused to stand firm. But more than that, just from a logic and reason standpoint, from an argumentation standpoint, you talk about just squirreling around the question.
Share something personal with you.
Please.
I'd love to get your take.
Please.
You know, I was telling you, I was raised Catholic,
yeah,
Christian. I still identify as such.
Yeah.
But I went through a very trying time in my life a few years ago. And at that same time, for what luck would have it, intervention, the universe, I picked up a book about Buddhism by the late Buddhist monk, Thich Nhat Hanh. He wrote a wonderful book called Living Buddha, Living Christ, too, which I highly recommend. Mm. And at that time, as I read it, it illuminated so many answers to me. Hmm. As I was going through this thing, I had a family member who was sick, and it really kind of held me together. Hmm. Since then, I would probably say I identify as Christian Buddhist.
Jimmy, I'm fire water.
You're what?
I'm fire water. I'm hot cold. That's what I identify as.
Those are opposites.
I identify as tall short. What? But he's a Christian Buddhist.
Yeah, those are opposites.
And I'm not asking for your judgment of me, but right. I'm just asking in terms of Christianity and the church, is there room for that? Is there room for me and maybe other people who, and I'm serious, and, yeah, and other people who may not identify even remotely Christian, is there room in the faith and in also in CCM and your music for what I just identified as, or perhaps for someone who is even not even a footprint in Christianity.
Yeah. How would you answer that question? The specific question is there room for me? Meaning, can I be a Christian Buddhist or can somebody be a non-Christian and be a participant in your faith? It had nothing to do in my estimation of whether or not you would be welcomed if you ever darkened the doorstep of a church. Listen to the obfuscation.
I would so hope that you felt like the doors were open.
Not the question.
Jesus would love to sit down with you, would love to have this conversation with, and you can. I would hope the church would also be that open.
Do you think George Whitefield would have answered that way? Seriously, this is again, this is this backward, this leaning back. Hey, I'm not going to say anything that might be strident in appearance. I'm not going to say anything that has a sharp edge to it. I'm not going to say anything that might offend you. This was a no-brainer. Oh, my friend, why don't you tell me what you think Buddhism is? And then why don't you tell me what you think Christianity is? And when we're done, I think you're going to see that they're simply incompatible and you need to make a choice.
Like, why would you not have a place here? Yeah. Even if we disagree on something, like, is that not what the church is supposed to be?
No, not that type of thing. Sure, you can disagree on carpet color, but the teachings of Jesus and the teaching of Buddha can agree on that.
The community. And when we might go, hey, we believe this. But if you don't agree, why would our doors be closed to you?
Now, see what he did there? Why would anybody's welcome to, if you're a Buddhist, come on in. Please come in. We'd love for you to stay. But we don't want you to stay a Buddhist. You can't stay a Buddhist if you're going to be a member of a church. Why? Because Jesus said so. He's the one who said, if you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. He's the one that said he is the way, the truth, the life. I get it. We want to be winsome with people. We don't want to seem like we're exclusive. Oh, wait a second. Christianity is exclusive. I'm sorry. That response, among other things, cowardly. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know what's rare? Finding something that makes you laugh and makes you think at the same time. And that's why we've brought in Gary Varvel. Gary's an award-winning cartoonist, and every week he draws in an original creation just for Fortis Institute. They're sharp, they're funny, and they usually make a point that sticks with you a little bit longer than you expected it to. And something else you'll find at Fortis Institute is Fortis News, which is hosted by yours truly. These are up-to-the-minute headlines that matter to Christians, and they're told from a biblical worldview. There's no spin, there's no agenda. It's just the news with a Christian perspective. And both of these things, part of what we're building in Fortis Institute, and both are made possible by our gospel partners. If you have been helped and you appreciate the content that we're creating at Fortis Institute, would you consider supporting us so that we can reach more people in more places all over the world? It's really simple. We know you have questions, so we have answers at fortisinstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. You've tried everything. You've sent articles. You've had the conversations. You've probably argued more than you wanted to. But you have a loved one who is still neck deep in the prosperity gospel or the new apostolic reformation, and nothing you seem to say gets through. It's exhausting, I know, and it's also heartbreaking. Snatch Them from the Flames was made for exactly this reason. Todd Friel and Justin Peters sit down and they tackle why your loved one is attracted to these movements in the first place. Because until you actually understand that, you're just going to be swinging in the dark. Then they walk through the things that you can actually say and do to help pull them toward Christianity. This isn't about winning an argument. It's about understanding someone you love and pointing them to something real. If you've got a family member or a friend caught up in a false gospel and you don't know what else to try, Snatch Them from the Flames is for you. It's streaming for free right now on Fortis Plus. Download the app on your smartphone, your smart TV, or simply go to fortisplus.org.
Most men don't make one big decision that takes them off course. No, it happens gradually, and eventually you look up and you realize, I've been coasting for years. Well, Dr. Adam Tyson has created Walk Like a Man. It's available now on Fortis Plus. Dr. Tyson knows that's the story for way too many guys right now. And so he gets into God's Word and he lays out what it actually looks like to walk with wisdom and live with real conviction. And the way he teaches it, you'll walk away from every episode knowing exactly what to do and why it matters. This is biblical teaching that puts solid ground under your feet and gives you a clear path forward. It's streaming right now with new episodes dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus for free. Download the Fortis Plus app right now wherever you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just go to fortisplus.org and walk like a man.
Important dates in Christian history. 1735. The Great Awakening under Jonathan Edwards stirs the American colonies with many conversions and individual returns to heartfelt faith. Because of this awakening, a number of divinity schools were founded, including Princeton, Dartmouth, and Rutgers.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's find out together, shall we? This is Wretched Radio. So I'm looking at my computer screen. I know what this clip is. Speaking of bad answers, a Canadian astronaut was asked, hey, what's the purpose of life?
The purpose of humanity is joy and lifting one another up, creating together versus destroying.
No, that's not it. So I know what that clip is. My response to this astronaut would be, those things sound so nice. Tell me, by what authority do you speak? Who says that that is the reason for human existence? What is your source of authority? I know what that clip is. But this, okay, wait a second. This clip, I know what this is because somebody sent this in because we talked about this last week, the iconic moment when Carnac the Magnificent busted up Ed McMahon on something they used to call the Tonight Show. It used to be funny once upon a time. He was divining an envelope. What are the contents of the envelope?
Having trouble divining this one?
No.
Yeah.
Sis boom ba.
Sis boom ba.
Describe the sound made when a sheep explodes.
Clean. Funny. And they just lose it. That goes on for like another 30 seconds. So I know what that sound file is. Let's see, what else do we have? Oh, this one was interesting. The Decatur street preacher that was arrested. This is a little bit old. You're going to catch the story. And I don't have enough details, but I think that we can use it as a springboard to understand the rules of open air preaching.
Everyone, a parking lot preacher arrested, not for spreading the gospel, but for being too loud.
Disorderly conduct charges are minor, only a misdemeanor, so we don't cover them often. But the viral video of a Decatur woman's arrest has over 400,000 views.
WAFF48's investigative reporter Nick Ballinger joined us now. Nick, the issue is with the speakers she was using.
Ballinger. So he goes to the Walmart parking lot where this happened, and I couldn't tell if she was on the Walmart parking lot or not. Because here's, so I'm not judging the details of the story. I don't know what these people were preaching, but they had a sound system set up. It looked kind of like they were in the lot next to Walmart. But if it's private property, the owner of the property has every right to say, I don't want that on my private property. Think of it like this. You own a home, you've got a front lawn. And if somebody, let's say a Mormon, came and did some open air preaching on your front lawn, you would say, excuse me, Mr. Mormon. First of all, your tie's crooked. Second of all, this is my private property. I do not want that message proclaimed here. Besides, I have guests coming over. Skedaddle. You'd want that. And I think that private property should have the right to do that. Now, the question, of course, is what constitutes private property and public property when it comes to institutions, specifically universities. The reality is, if any university accepts any money at all from the government, it doesn't keep them private. If they're a private institution and they receive some money, actually, it's now public in part, which means it gets tricky. You're going to have a harder time defending it, but you can even be on private institution ground if they're receiving money from the government, which means they're receiving money from you. Public university, you have every right to be there. Now, there can be sound ordinances that you're bugging people. They're trying to go about their business. We need to have an orderly society. So I get that. I think there's, besides, to ruin somebody's day or not allow them to hear in the classroom, or you set up a loudspeaker or use a bullhorn where people are eating dinner, it's just not cool. And I don't think it supports what you're trying to accomplish. But you do have the right to be at a public institution. You do have a right to be at a private university if they're receiving taxpayer money. But I don't recommend it, going to the private university, because when the police officer stops you, you can say, well, I know it's a private institution, but technically they're receiving government funding. Therefore, I do have, you're probably not going to be very successful. These people that did the open air preaching at the Walmart weren't. It seems the discrepancy was not just about sound, but I also think location.
Well, as Bethany Sinnott says, she does this often, going to parking lots and preaching to nearby shoppers. But on Sunday, she was charged with disorderly conduct for unreasonable noise, sparking a heavy debate online. three times a week.
A normal day for us.
You'll find Bethany Stinnett and Robert Coughlin here.
Now, by the way, here is outside of the Walmart in the parking lot, apparently, but they didn't give that detail, which was a crucial detail. The sign that they're carrying was "Need Prayer." So it wasn't a Turner Burns sort of a message, apparently. It was just "Need Prayer." So let me get this straight. If we stand in front of a public place, not a Walmart, public place, with a sign about Jesus, we can be shuffled off. But Don Lemon can go into a church in St. Paul, Minnesota, and say that it's his First Amendment right.
The Walmart in Athens. In their element. Doing what they love.
They're to be saved.
Well, we just go into the streets and we proclaim the gospel. We preach the gospel.
Good on.
When she decided to preach outside a different Walmart in Decatur.
We felt a call to go to Decatur that day.
She had no clue that calling would lead to this. A brand new picture from the Morgan County Jail.
Now, there's more to the story, but it's inconclusive for our understanding as to like where they were and the volume issue. There are volume ordinances. I think we submit to those. I also think that there's just goodwill ordinances that don't need to be codified by the state, where we just don't make a ruckus where people are just trying to enjoy a picnic or a sandwich. So I don't know the details of this, but those are basically the rules. You do have every legal right to go to a public place and proclaim the gospel. Now, there are a couple of other rules on university campuses. You can't impede traffic. So don't gather on a sidewalk. Gather next to the sidewalk. Just don't be on it to impede people's traffic because they have to be able to come and go. Don't be underneath a classroom window making a lot of noise because now you're keeping the kids from getting what they paid for. And they can shuffle you off. By the way, we were at Georgia Tech. We had a delightful encounter. There was I think he was a police officer. Jason would know. It seemed that he was, it said Georgia Tech police. And he came up and he said, "What are you guys doing?" You know, because that's his job. And Jason just politely explained. I don't think Jason could explain anything without being polite. But nevertheless, he politely explained what it is that we're doing. And the guy was super cool. Super cool. And he just let us be, which was the right thing. Now, I was at Georgia Tech some years ago, and a couple of officers, they asked me if I could just move it along. And I said, "Guys, you know that you don't have legal legs to stand on, right? That I do have the right to be here." And in a moment of transparent cool, they went, "Yeah, we know, but it would just make our lives so much easier." All right, for you guys, I'll go over there and do it over there. So those are the rules. I know what that clip was about, but Jimmy, what is Trump addresses new demand? What does that say?
Well, that's...
Well, I'm trying... Wait, hold on. I don't have my glasses. I'm not trying to be funny. New deleted
now
photo.
Yeah.
What is it?
Well, it's in the... Click the clip. You'll see for yourself.
Well, I can't. This is radio. There's nothing to see.
Yeah, but you can see it.
All right.
And you can...
Mr. President, did you post that picture of yourself depicted as Jesus Christ?
Well, it wasn't depicted. It was me. I did post it, and I thought it was...
Wait, what is going on here? This is... Okay, this is whatever this... It's a reporter asking him, "Mr. President, did you post or delete the picture?" So it's a picture of Trump.
Mm-hmm.
He's in a white robe with a red stole around his shoulder. There's a flag, and it looks like fireworks behind him. And he's ministering to somebody in the bed?
It looks like he's healing somebody in the bed. I mean, the claim was that he posted a photo of himself depicted as Jesus.
Oh.
And he got a lot of backlash.
Good.
Mr. President, did you post that picture of yourself depicted as Jesus Christ?
Well, it wasn't depicted. It was me. I did post it, and I thought it was me as a doctor and had to do with Red Cross as a Red Cross worker there, which we support.
Okay. If Red Cross workers wear clerical robes.
And only the fake news could come up with that one. So I just heard about it. And I said, "How did they come up with that? It's supposed to be me as a doctor making people better. And I do make people better. I make people a lot better.
As
a-
All righty then. So that was that basically the gist?
Yeah.
Right there?
It. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. Okay. Here's what I know. I'm looking at the photo. Doesn't look like a Red Cross doctor, but I'll trust the man, not because he's the president, because I will put the best construction on it. Hope all things. I don't know his heart. I'm not Gnostic. Now, I do know this. He did use two potty words on his Easter post. Really nasty potty words. Chuck Todd, I think he was from MSNBC, he did a little video saying, are there any evangelicals that are that will denounce that type of language from the president of the United States? Because all you evangelicals seem to do is defend the guy. Isn't there anybody who will denounce potty mouth coming out of our presidency? And the answer is, yep, there's one of us. Jimmy, are there two of us?
There are two of us.
No excuse for that. Love so many of the policies, but when the behavior is subpar for a president or anti-Christian, y'all, we can't be like Brendan Lake is what I'm trying to say. That's exactly what I'm trying to say. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.